The Gospel according to Luke chapter 7, beginning again at verse 36, the Word of God. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he, the Lord Jesus, went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answering said unto him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." And he said, "Master, say on." There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. "Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose that he to whom he forgave most." And he said unto him, "Thou hast rightly judged." And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, "Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." And then our text, verse 48 and verse 50, "And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace." Amen. Beloved congregation, it was not that long ago that this woman had entered the house of Simon the Pharisee. How long do you think it was? 20 minutes? Would it have been half an hour? Could not have been much more. And what all had not happened during these 20 or 30 minutes, you could say, all her life long, these 20 minutes must have been most memorable in her life. Her mind must have gone over those moments again and again, each word, each motion of the Savior. It was really 20 minutes or 30 minutes of eternity down in time. And oh, what a difference in how she was now leaving compared to how she had come in. She had come in, her heart being full of need. She leaves now with her heart full of blessing. She had come to him. She had no other place to go in her misery. Now he who took her misery from her sends her forth. She had come under her old name. Remember what it was? A sinner. And she left now with a new name. Remember? A forgiven sinner. When she had entered, she was greeted with disdain on the part of Simon and the other men there. Now the Lord Jesus had taken her disdain on him, and it was now upon him. Eternal things in the space of 20 minutes perhaps. Now perhaps you wonder what I have been wondering as I prepare the sermon, congregation. Namely this. Would this woman not have wanted to stay at the feet of her beloved Savior? Was that not the best place on all the earth? Was it not now a disappointment for her to have to go on? To leave that sacred place where first she met the Lord? Perhaps some feel that way about today. As this morning we had to leave the table of the Lord and go on the rest of the week and of life. Maybe you have thought for a moment or throughout the day, could I not stay there? Congregation, do you think that after all that Jesus had done, he would not disappoint this woman? No. When he sends her from him, he sends her on a way that is forward. A way that is a blessed way, as we hope to see from our text, as I said, verse 48 and verse 50. These words in particular, and he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. And so the theme, a little different from what I gave to Julie for the bulletin, the theme I changed somewhat, not essentially different, but some different words, the way forward from the feet of Jesus, a way of sealing, a way of instruction, a way of blessing. The way forward from the feet of Jesus, a way of sealing, a way of instruction, and a way of blessing. A way of sealing. Remember the words? Jesus said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Why does Jesus speak these words at this point? Because had she not already been forgiven? That's clear, is it not, that the love of God had been poured out in her heart, and it had been from that love in her heart, out of that love, she had come to the Lord Jesus. Jesus made that clear in the story that he told. That love had been produced in her heart from out of the spring of forgiveness. And had Christ himself not said it as he told her life story in verse 47, as we saw this morning, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. And so we could say her sins were forgiven. You see, when she had come to the Lord Jesus, then in heaven, in the court of heaven, we could say, God had declared her forgiven. God in heaven no longer saw iniquity in this woman. As he says about Jacob, for example, in Numbers chapter 23, verse 21, he hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob. So, in the courtroom of heaven, the Lord had said, I, even I, have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. But now comes verse 48. Why does the Lord Jesus speak the words now in verse 48? Because in verse 48 we have something more than what she had already received. Verse 48 is not simply that Christ is reminding her of what he said in verse 47. He's not simply repeating it now straight to her. No, what he was doing in verse 48 is he was sealing forgiveness to her heart. You see, it's one thing to have in you the hope of forgiveness. It's even another thing to have the promise and to believe the promise of forgiveness. But it is even more yet to have forgiveness sealed to your heart, to your soul. Now maybe you know of that in your own life, that you know that the Lord has sealed the forgiveness to your heart. That if you had a sense of your sin and of your misery, and the Lord taught you your need of Christ, and He taught you that Christ is suitable to you, but you still lacked the assurance that all your sins were forgiven you only for the sake of the passion and death of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, the Lord had not yet sealed all that to your soul. Now, mind you, I need to say something in addition to that, because when a believer is brought to faith, is given faith by the power of the Holy Spirit, when he is born again from above, then he does partake of the Holy Spirit, does he not? You could say that even the smallest believer or the weakest believer has the initial seal of the Holy Spirit. It's not so that he will not be saved. He may feel unassured indeed. But if he's born again and brought to the beginning of faith, maybe the weakest of faith, then the Lord says, no one shall be able to pluck him out of my hands. And yet, you see, this sealing of the Holy Spirit is a great benefit to him when that takes place, and to those around him, especially in days of trial and tumult and turmoil. You may know that Richard Sibbes in his works has a lovely section on the sealing of the Holy Spirit. If you have Richard Sibbes at home, the 7 volumes, I believe it is, you find in the 5th volume, it's somewhere in the 400s, I think page 409 through 456, a lovely section on the sealing with the Holy Spirit. And it's actually called in a separate book, and also in that book, A Fountain Sealed. What Richard Sibbes does there is he says there are 3 kinds of true believers. First of all, he says you have the Christians who are under a spirit of bondage and are filled with doubts and with fears. But they're true believers, but under a spirit of bondage, but filled with doubts and fears. And he says to those believers, what you must do is pray for more light and faith to discern the Spirit's work in you. So that's the first rank of believers, as he calls them. And then secondly, he talks about Christians who are under the spirit of adoption. Under the spirit of adoption, and yet often still struggle with perplexity and doubt. And he writes that their assurance is usually the greatest when they are undergoing trials. And to them, Richard Sibbes says in his work, they should study to be pliable to the Spirit for further increase. And then thirdly, he says, there are Christians who receive, and this is how he puts it, who receive an unmistakable witness of the Spirit in their soul. How does God do that? How does the Holy Spirit do that? He applies one passage or a text or more texts. He always uses his word. but he applies a passage or a text to their soul with power so that they know he is theirs and they are his. They know that their sins have been blotted out and that God will remember them no more forever. Now, that's what the Lord Jesus is doing here to this woman in verse 48 and in verse 50. You see, not only had the Father drawn this woman to the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, and not only had the Son allowed her to touch him, but the Holy Spirit was also sealed to her soul in a decisive, in an effective way. And that's why Jesus says to her directly, "Thy sins are forgiven thee." A wonderful congregation. You know, the Savior does not send this woman home simply saying, "Now it's time for you to go. We are eating here. I have a mission here too." Imagine that Jesus had done that. "Will you please go now?" And she had gone back to her home and to the society around her, tossed with tempest and not comforted. Imagine that on the way to her home, she would have met one of her former lovers. And if she had not been firmly established in the knowledge of God and the love of Christ, and her case had not yet been settled for herself, then she would be open to assault and under the sway even of the evil one and of evil men, who would remind her of her past and who would remind her of her promises to them in the past. But no, the Lord Jesus, when he says to this woman, "Thy sins are forgiven," he seals the forgiveness to her soul. And that's the way forward for this woman, congregation. It's a way of sealing. Now maybe you sit in church tonight and you say, "That's what I need." And this is why I felt this morning I could not come to the table of the Lord. And I didn't come. I am so tossed inside of myself. And I know my case is not yet settled. Or maybe somebody else says, "I did go to the table of the Lord this morning, but what you're talking about now, that's what I need." What are you to do then? Then you are to say to the Lord Jesus, "O Lord, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. I am thy Savior. Do not fear." And what you must do is often be in the Word and pray diligently for this. And speak with God's mature people. And seek from the Lord that you may grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, of which the Word of God speaks. And Richard Sibbes spends a great deal of time on it in his long section. He says, "Avoid grieving the Spirit of God. Avoid living in unconfessed sin." And in the meantime, he says, "Wait earnestly and patiently for seasons of richer grace." And those of you who know of this sealing in your soul, pray vigorously that God would raise up a new tribe of those who know this joyful sound, who have the forgiveness sealed to them. Souls who have heard it from the Lord himself, his own lips, "Thy sins are forgiven." Remember the words of Psalm 62? "God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God." Pray to God that he would make you part of that people that will be as bold as lions in the face of wickedness that abounds in our day. And that's the way forward. It's the way of sealing. But secondly, it's also the way of instruction. Jesus says something very noteworthy in verse 50, congregation. He says, "Thy faith has saved thee." Why does the Lord Jesus speak those words to the woman? Could he not have left out those words? If she had been forgiven, why then add these words? Was that really necessary? Well, the answer, congregation, is that the Lord Jesus is instructing her in the pathways of God. As we sang in number 450, sinners are by him instructed in the way. He will ever guide the meek. And Jesus, in verse 50, what he is doing there is he takes this woman in the school of his teaching. And he teaches her, and he teaches us this night too, the most important lesson that this woman has to learn in her further life. And as she goes forward now from his feet, are you also in this school? And have you learned this lesson? What is the lesson? It's the all-important lesson of faith alone. You see, if this woman had gone home simply because Jesus said, "Now it's time for you to go," and she would have thought about what she had done, she might have begun to think, "How was that now? It must have been my love, because he talked about my love. It must be that my love saved me." And don't think now, congregation, that those persons who are sealed by the Lord, who are true children of God, that they do not face real temptations such as those, especially when the devil comes and tempts. And in our day also false teaching prevails, as it was in those days with the Pharisees all around. And this woman would have been so vulnerable to false teaching. Just think of that. If this morning you were at the table of the Lord, then the lesson that Christ this evening wants to instruct you in is this, that it is not your repentance that has saved you. He does not say to this woman, "Woman, your tears have saved you." He does not say, "Your humility has saved you. Just keep being humble, will you? And that's it. That is salvation." No. But Jesus says to her, "Thy faith has saved thee." And what he is doing here, he is crowning her faith. That's right. He is saying what Paul later on writes in Romans chapter 4, verse 5, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." That's the lesson that Jesus is teaching this woman here in the house of Simon. And you know, that's the lesson that you and I also must learn. At whatever point of the pilgrimage of faith that you and I may be on, above all things, you and I need faith, true living faith. And what is faith then? Faith is the empty hand that receives everything from Christ, from the fullness of Christ. And that's why Christ so highly honors faith, because it is faith that highly honors Christ. One man has put it this way, and I quote him, "Faith is chosen by Christ to wear the crown of salvation because," let me contradict myself, "it refuses to wear the crown." And you know that, don't you? That faith casts the crown from the head at the feet of Christ. And that's how Christ can say to this woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Not in the sense that her faith wrought salvation, but because Christ saved her. And she appropriated this. She partook of this by a true saving faith. What Jesus is saying when he says, thy faith has saved thee, he is saying, I have saved you, O woman. And your empty hand of faith is what received this full salvation. Never forget it as you go home now. Notice also, congregation, the timing of this instruction by the Lord Jesus Christ. It comes right after verse 49, and I kind of left it out because I'm not going into detail. But if you look at verse 49, then the people here in this house of Simon, after Christ has said, thy sins are forgiven, these people, they say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to this woman at that point, thy faith hath saved thee. Right in the middle of the assault, right there on Christ, he calmly addresses the woman and he says to her, thy faith hath saved thee. Now, if Jesus had not spoken these words to the woman, this woman might have gone home with a question in her heart, lingering in her heart, assaulting her. Maybe this question, who is this that forgave me my sins? And the Lord Jesus knows what this woman needs. And he says, as it were, to this woman, never forget this now, woman. It's the empty hand of faith that clings to a full Savior, a great Savior. What was it that brought you here? That will also carry you from here, from me, into you an unknown future. And then I ask you, congregation, what now is the ground, your ground of confidence for the future? Is it in your struggle or is it in your feelings that go up and down? What is now your ground for the future? Is it in your attendance of the table of the Lord? Or is it in your love for the Lord? Or is it in your desire for the Lord? No. The ground lies in Jesus Christ. Christ alone. And that's what Jesus is saying to the woman. He says to her, focus on me. Always focus on me. And Christ, as it were, is saying, when one of these weeks or maybe a year later, you meet Simon here in town on the street, and he sees the change in your life, and when he says to you, yes, I'm surprised that it turned out with you the way it did, but here, woman, are some extra laws that you need to keep. And Jesus says to this woman at this moment, then you say to Simon next year, Simon, my Savior and Lord said in your home, your faith has saved you. Away with your work, Simon. Did we not sing it a moment ago, congregation? The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. And he will show them his covenant. Our faith may go up and down, but Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We need faith to grow in faith. That empty hand faith that he fills. in order that we might receive more from the Savior. But it is always only by faith. And notice also that the Lord Jesus says, thy faith hath saved thee. Thy faith has saved thee. Woman, you are saved. You are not half saved. You are not almost saved. I have completely saved you, body and soul, for this life and the life to come. Let the devil accuse you. Let your old lovers assail you. But your faith hath saved you. You are in my arms now and forever. You see, congregation, this woman can go forward because of his gracious instruction in the path of life. That was our second point. But then thirdly, it is also a way of peace. Because Jesus says to this woman, go in peace. That means Christ is now everything to this woman, isn't he? If you think of who he is the creditor who has canceled her debt. He is her prophet who has instructed her now in the way. But now he is also her priest. And he says to her, go in peace. I don't know if he raised his hands over her. But he is here the priest who sends this woman away from his feet, from this worship service at his feet, into the future. And he says, go in peace. Is that not the same that the Apostle Paul says in Romans 5 verse 1, wherefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ? By sin we have ruined everything. This woman has ruined her life by her sins, and she knows it. How much had this woman ruined her life by her sins that we don't know? The Bible leaves out the details, and we don't need to know all the details either, congregation. But we do know that she had been living in these years in the very jaws of hell. And now Jesus says to this woman, go in peace. What peace is that then? The peace of the Father who preserves, and of the Son who will pay on the cross with his blood and with his righteousness, and through the Spirit who will direct her life. Before, heaven was shut to this woman and hell was open, and now heaven is open to this woman and hell has been shut. That's what Jesus is saying to her when he says, go in peace. In peace. And Christ can say it because I say he's the priest. He will obtain and accomplish peace on the cross. How then? By his blood. Because it is peace by his blood, as this morning the supper of the Lord showed to us. A peace that we do not have of ourselves or in ourselves and are not able to produce ourselves. A peace that we can long for in this world of war and enmity and so many trials and afflictions. Jesus says to this woman, go in peace. Peace with God. Peace in your heart. Peace with God's way in your life. Peace with your neighbor. Peace with God's heart providence also in your life. And peace that will never leave you. For Jesus will say shortly after this, or a little while after this in John 14, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Peace to carry you through. Peace to bring us to the other side. Peace everlasting. Peace. But I also must say to those who have no way forward, because they have never yet been at the feet of Jesus. You may have been at the Lord's table this morning, like Simon in this story, or you may not have been at the table of the Lord. But I'm speaking now to you who have never been at the feet of Jesus weeping out your sins. Don't you see, my friend, what you are missing? My dear unconverted friend, you are, as I said this morning, you are like Simon in this passage. And notice that what Jesus says to this woman, he does not say to this Simon. Simon does not have what this woman has. Simon has no forgiveness. Simon has none of the faith that this woman has. Simon has none of the peace that this woman has. Simon is also going a little later, getting up from his seat, but he is on his way to a cursed eternity, of which the Lord says in his word, Isaiah 57 at the close, there is no peace, saith my God, for the wicked. Do you hear how Jesus directs even Simon? Because in verse 44, he says to Simon, Simon, seest thou this woman? Do you see her? If you want to know what you need, Simon, look at this woman with no eyes, with eyes that will say, I am like this woman, except I have not yet come to the feet of Jesus. I have many sins. I have a great need. But my sins and my need have never brought me yet to the feet of Jesus. Simon, if only you would come as this woman to my feet, then there would be a way for you forward as well. And then finally, congregation, what will be happening to us this week? This has been the first day. Tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Do you understand how there is a way from the feet of Jesus forward? Do you see what Jesus is doing here to the woman in our text? When he says, go in peace, he is actually giving himself along with this woman to her home, in his sealing, in his instruction, and in this peace. Jesus has a work to perform all along. The woman cannot go with him to the cross and to be nailed on the cross with him. The woman cannot help Jesus there. Jesus must tread that winepress all alone. The winepress of the wrath of God. That this woman might have the benefits already now and after this and forever in the life to come. But what a wondrous high priest Jesus is. He, in another sense, does take her along. You could say he takes her along when he says, go in peace. He takes her along in another way on his breastplate, on his heart, you might say, or in his heart. There is a way forward for this woman, a way of peace, though Jesus for that must go under curse. And he says to her, go, my daughter. Go in peace. I have not yet finished my work, but I will finish it. I will finish it for you. You can trust in my work. The work I have for thee begun shall by my grace be fully done. Congregation, there is a way forward from the feet of Jesus. And it is upon the heart of Jesus, the great high priest. And with his eye upon me, and his peace in my heart, and his seal in my soul. And then I can say this night, in sweet communion, Lord, with thee I constantly abide. My hand thou holdest in thy own to keep me near thy sight. That's the way forward from the feet of Jesus, at the side of Jesus, in the heart of Jesus forevermore. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us pray. Good and upright, O Lord, thou art in thy way with sinners who are by thee instructed, even in this passage so familiar to us. We could have told the story without even opening the Bible, but sinners are by thee instructed here this day in the path untrod before. Thou wilt ever guide the meek in thy pathways, holy. Oh, grant that it be the pathway from thy feet for us today. We, it seems, are but at the very beginning of that instruction, though we may have been taught already for many years. Oh, give us grace in thy school. Forgiveness. Seal thy own work to us, O Lord, thy word of promise. Confirm it. Teach us the lesson of faith, and faith alone, and by faith alone, and then a true faith. And thus to go in peace. While thou art in heaven, yet at thy sight, oh, indwell us by thy word and spirit thereunto, and make us a people ready to serve thee, and to know that our serving thee is the full fruit of the work of this great Savior, Jesus. And to thee, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, shall be all the glory. And those like Simon in our midst, those like Simon in the congregation who did not so much as come here today, but so respectable in the congregation, so well-dressed perhaps, so well-versed, those like Simon, O Lord. This is the day of full salvation that thou hast made and sanctified. O, visit them with thy salvation. Break their hearts, however old they may be, however young, that they may have a contrite heart and lowly, trembling at thy word. Show their need of thee, O Savior, for cleansing, for forgiveness, for faith, for peace. O, hear us, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen.